DW Africa Link. Hello and a warm welcome to DW's Africa Link program this Thursday, the 20th of September, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. We are happy to be back on air on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Feel free to drop us a line and let us know if you are listening.
That's true indeed. Coming up on the program, Uganda pop star turned politician Bobi Wine has vowed to continue his fight against what he calls bad governance and liberate his country.
I have come to continue exactly where I stopped. I will fight for my freedom and I will get that freedom. And if I don't get that freedom in my lifetime, at least my children or their children will get the freedom that they deserve.
Many of his supporters were not happy with the way the government and security agents have handled the situation.
I just request the government, it should just comply with Bobi Wine instead of trying to disorganize his rights.
We like youth, we have never benefited anything through this government.
Also on the program, we'll also hear the latest from the EU summit in Salzburg on their new proposals to stop illegal migration to Europe.
We have that and much more, but first is a chance to listen to what has been happening around the world.
DW News.
My name is Jane Nyingi with DW News. Ugandan musician and opposition politician Bobi Wine has vowed to continue his fight for the freedom of his country. The lawmaker, who arrived in the country today on Thursday from the United States after receiving treatment for alleged torture by the security forces, was escorted by the police from the airport to his home. The musician, who is a fierce critic of President Yoweri Museveni, faces treason charges.
I have come to continue exactly where I stopped, because looks like the government is determined to keep us slaves in our own country. I cannot ask for asylum anywhere else. I cannot be a refugee. I am a Ugandan and I will stay in Uganda and I will fight for my freedom and I will get that freedom. And if I don't get that freedom in my lifetime, at least my children or their children will get the freedom that they deserve.
Britain and its European Union partners have failed to secure a breakthrough in Brexit talks in Austria, with both sides throwing cold water over each other's proposals. British Prime Minister Theresa May insisted that her Brexit plan was the only one on the table, adding that there have been no acceptable counter-proposal from the European Union. EU Council President Donald Tusk seemed equally unimpressed by what London had to offer.
Everybody shared the view that while there are positive elements in the Chequers proposal, the suggested framework for economic cooperation will not work because it risks undermining the single market. In October, we expect maximum progress and results in the Brexit talks.
The Russian government has welcomed the decision by the World Anti-Doping Body to reinstate the country's anti-doping agency. The agency was suspended nearly 3 years ago for its central role in the doping scandal. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak has pleaded not guilty to 25 new charges of money laundering and abuse of office. He appeared in court following allegations that $628 million linked to a state investment fund ended up in his personal bank accounts.
Issue 2.9 billion ringgit.
These charges are meant to slander, humiliate and discredit me. This is an opportunity for me to clear my name that I am not a thief. I hope that the conclusions will lead to the truth coming out.
The French far-right leader Marine Le Pen has expressed outrage after being ordered to undergo psychiatric tests for tweeting pictures of Islamic atrocities. Le Pen shared the gruesome images in 2015, a few weeks after IS jihadists killed 130 people in Paris. A French court ordered the psychiatric evaluation as part of its investigation. For more news and information, head on our Facebook page, DW Africa. My name is Jane Nyingi.
If you're just joining us, this is DW's Africa Link program. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. We begin today's program with the big story of the day making headlines, and that is the return of Bobby Wine, a popular Ugandan musician turned politician from the US, where he had gone to receive medical treatment from alleged torture under the hands of security agents.
On arrival at the airport, Bobby Wine, who had spent 2 weeks in the US, was forced into a waiting military van and driven off as hundreds of people waited by the roadside to have a glimpse. From Kampala, Alex Jitter followed the events and filed this report.
This was the situation on Kampala Entebbe Road as Bobby Wine was being transported in a police convoy as supporters chanted his name. The Inspector General of Police, Martin Okoth Ochola, tweeted and said Chagulanyi was not under arrest, but they were just providing him with security and were taking him home. At his home, Bobby Wine addressed hundreds of supporters with a message of defiance.
I have come to continue exactly where I stopped. I am going to fight on, and like I said, we must get our freedom or we shall die trying to get our freedom. Because looks like the government is determined to keep us slaves in our own country. I cannot ask for asylum anywhere else. I cannot be a refugee. No. I am a Ugandan and I will stay in Uganda. And I will fight for my freedom and I will get that freedom. And if I don't get that freedom in my lifetime, at least my children or their children will get the freedom that they deserve.
In the capital, Kampala, and Entebbe, where Uganda's only international airport is located, the police impounded several motorcycles and cars bearing pro-Bobby Wine stickers. Several journalists were briefly detained to prevent them from covering the events. But for political analyst Sraje Nsambo, this kind of police reaction was expected.
So there's a lot of panic within the government and the police, because they see the fame that Bobby Wine has gotten over the months and the a year or two, the attention that he has attracted from the international community. All things, these things have driven the government into panic. That's why they will try everything they can to curtail him from having that kind of a big welcome from the people.
Bobby Wine now says he will reveal his medical report this coming weekend when he addresses a press conference. It is alleged while under detention, he was injected with unknown chemical substances.
Alex Jitter with that report. Supporters of Bobby Wine have been on the streets to show solidarity with their leader. Let's hear what they had to say.
I just request the government to settle down, to cool down. It should just comply with Bobby Wine instead of trying to disorganize his rights, because he is a Ugandan and we are Ugandans. We have our rights.
We like youth, we have never benefited anything through this government. So I think that me myself, that I'm so happy, and even the others who are so happy more than me, I'm happy to welcome our president, because we are tired of this fake government like this.
When a bird gets tired in flight, you know what it does? It lands on the nearest tree, no matter how weak. So the young people you see in this generation, the young people of Bobby Wine's age, the young people of Bobby Wine's generation are simply finding the nearest tree to land, no matter how weak.
That's an analyst and some of Bobby Wine's supporters, I mean, reacting to the return of their man, if I may say, Zippy. You heard him, you know, he says he's returned to start off from where he stopped.
Yeah.
To liberate the country. And we have some comments that, you know, our followers have been posting on Facebook.
For sure. There's someone who actually thinks, Dom K, actually thinks these old politicians need to give chance to the youth. The action of the government, he says, is totally unacceptable.
Vincent Scoffey says, CEO, standing for Chief Executive Officer, Bobby Wine, we wait for you as our president. Come there 2021.
And as that man said, many young people are actually looking up to Bobby Wine. And there's someone here who thinks like that. And I love which Henry says, unknown to the government, they are making him a hero by their actions. Very soon he shall be great and at the same time liberate the country.
Zewala says, dictatorship in Uganda where the rule of law and order does not exist. And Charles Ongole John, our usual contributor, says, we are tired of a regime that scared stiff of people power. Period. Many thanks for those comments and keep them flowing on our Facebook page, We will come to them whenever we can. Now, let's go to another story that is making headlines in Europe, where European Union leaders have agreed today to open talks with Egypt and North African countries as an important further step to curb migration to Europe in an informal meeting held in Salzburg, Austria.
Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz says they're backing the plan after noting that Egypt is ready to intensify talks with the EU after having cracked down on departures in the last 2 years. DW's head of Studio Brussels has been following the summit, that is Max Hoffman, and he starts by telling us what the leaders agreed on.
They focused especially on securing the outer borders of the European Union and trying to set up so-called disembarkation platforms in northern Africa. That's what we've been hearing for quite some time now. But the difference is that now they have a name of a country that is willing to talk to them, Egypt. It doesn't mean that country is willing to actually set up a so-called disembarkation platform, which is just another word, of course, for a migrant camp. But at least they have someone they can talk to and that they can sell as a success.
And talking about Egypt, why do you think the EU leaders consider Egypt very important to help them fight illegal immigration compared to other North African countries?
You know, that's a question we've put towards Sebastian Kurz, the Austrian chancellor here, and he didn't really give a satisfactory answer to that. It seems that Egypt is just the first country, or maybe the only country, that's willing to talk about it. All the other countries like Algeria, Tunisia have rejected that so far, to my knowledge. Maybe Egypt hopes to get something in return. They certainly will. We're talking about money here at the very least. But there's still the question is you would have to put towards the Egyptians. Why would they do that after being so proud of having the situation under control so far? Because you really don't have any significant number of boats leaving Egypt anymore. That used to be completely different. So they seem to have that situation under control. Why would they bring in migration camps now? But like I said, that's nothing the EU leaders here can really answer.
Despite looking up to Egypt, there are reports that migrants have found a new route in Morocco, crossing over to Spain. What did the EU leaders say about this?
Yeah, they recognize that this is happening, but what they're looking for, of course, is a solution that would also apply to Spain, basically preventing most migrants from making it to the EU shores because, as you know, smugglers often just put crammed some boat full of migrants and then they sent it off and called the Italian Coast Guard. So they got rescued sometimes even while they were still in waters that belong to North African countries. That's a situation that the EU wants to change. I think there's no doubt about it. The EU is getting much tougher on illegal migration, or at least trying.
That is Max Hoffman, the head of DW Studio Brussels.
Now, let's go back to our top story. Uganda's popular musician turned politician, Bobby Wine, has returned to his country after treatment in the US. And of course, his arrival was short-lived since he was whisked off, you know, by the military to his home.
Yes.
Now, Zippy, earlier we posted an article on our Facebook page. Police had banned all forms of rallies ahead of his welcome, you know. No people allowed on the streets along the road that comes from the airport up the city. And many people took to our Facebook page to vent out their anger, like Timo Omogezi. He says, "We Ugandans have no freedom at all."
Yeah, I am. Many people against that action by the government. And Elovechi Henry says, "It sounds bad, but unknown to the government, they are making him a hero by their actions."
Yeah, indeed. You know, there was a debate on Twitter whether a clampdown on particularly Bobby Wine, they're not actually propelling him to higher heights, especially the youth. And this is where this comment from Dom K comes in. He says, "These old politicians need to give chance to the youth. The actions of the government are totally unacceptable."
And someone seems to agree with that and says, Akaboka Ignatius says, "The fear of the masses. Sooner than later, there shall be a social revolt in Uganda." So lots of support there for him.
Yeah, you remember the story we did that, you know, Bobby Wine, you know, refuting allegations that the Western countries are supporting him with money.
Yeah.
Steve Max Beacon says he's just an activist defending the rights of his people against the wicked law and the wicked few, and is not getting any support from anyone. Anyway, many thanks for those comments. Keep the debate flowing. And as usual, the platform is our Facebook page, DW Africa. We'll read these comments whenever we can, live here on air. And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. And as usual, we have a lot packed up for you. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, we will be hearing how ordinary people in Nigeria have strong beliefs in witchcraft.
Many people are coming, including man or woman, old and young.
Many people come here, men, women, old and young, when they have a problem, and we have to give them a solution.
Mm-hmm. Zippy, you heard it. Many people are turning to witchcraft, you know, instead of going to the hospitals. And,
unfortunately, it is still practiced even today, Isaac.
But perhaps to them, fortunately, they can go to the shakers, you know, and consult with doctors. Anyway, that story is coming shortly. Don't go away. But before that, Muslims and Christian clerics and leaders of all major denominations in Cameroon have jointly accused Cameroonians in the diaspora for funding the crisis that has rocked the English-speaking regions of the central state for 2 years.
The clerics equally called for an unconditional ceasefire on both sides in order to bring an end to the rampant killings, looting and burning of property. But the government says only the armed separatists should lay their guns. Here is a report by Moki Kinzeka, presented by Abubakar Jalo.
At a recent meeting of both Muslim and Christian leaders, which was held at the headquarters of the Episcopal Conference of Cameroon Bishops, clerics called on the Cameroonian diaspora to end all activities aimed at further destabilizing the country, like the use of social media platforms and any support that will further fuel the crisis in Cameroon's English-speaking regions. Reverend Gustave Ebai, communication specialist at the Council of Protestant Churches of Cameroon, CEPCA, read the declaration in which Cameroonians living in the diaspora were accused of fueling the crisis.
We call on the diaspora to stop the hate speech communication that promotes violence, suspicion, and fear among the people of Cameroon. We call on those who finance the activities of armed groups to stop this dirty work that aims at destroying the natural fabric of Cameroon.
The cleric also calls on the government to stop its troops from indiscriminate killings and pleaded with armed groups on both sides to lay down their guns.
We call on the government to redefine and control the mission of the armed forces in the two regions in crisis. We call on the government to punish, in accordance with the law, all persons, military or civilian, who commit violent attacks, burnings, and destructions of property and extrajudicial killings.
Sheikh Umaru Malam, president of the Islamic Supreme Council of Cameroon, speaking at the congregation, said both Christians and Muslims could not be indifferent to the carnage that is happening in the country.
Nous, leaders religieux du Cameroun,
we religious leaders in Cameroon pray Allah, the merciful Creator, to help us find a peaceful solution so that peace, unity, reconciliation and prosperity returns to our beautiful country, Cameroon. We religious leaders, cognizant of the situation that is troubling our country and the question of perturbed peace in our regions of the Northwest and the Southwest, we are raising awareness of the situation, holding meetings and praying to find a lasting solution to this crisis.
Pour cette crise.
Cameroon government spokesperson Issa Chiruma appreciated the initiative but said the government cannot respect calls to withdraw its troops, which only protect the population from armed groups.
A law-abiding nation like our country, it is unacceptable to ask the government to put at the same level our regular army at the same level with terrorists is unbearable, unacceptable.
In October 2017, activists declared the creation of an English-speaking republic in Cameroon called Ambazonia, with Ayuk Tabe Julius as president, and the government waged a war on them. Most of the leaders escaped to other countries, and 47 of them, including Ayuk Tabe, were arrested and extradited to Cameroon. The conflict in the English-speaking regions has claimed at least 400 lives and displaced thousands from their homes, according to rights groups.
That is Moki Kinzeka with that report.
And with that much ado, let's come in with your comments. There is a mix of them we've been receiving since, you know, we posted this story also on our Facebook page, dw.com/Africa. Begin with Martha Abia says, where were these clerics when it all started at the University of Boya and Bamenda? Students were beaten very badly by the military. Some were killed. To date, nowhere to be found. The military was the first to start killing and burning of houses. Let them stay quiet.
Zabam Godlove, a funny name there, says, in my opinion, it's not time for blaming whosoever for what's happening. I'm of the opinion that lives be spared and President Biya should call off the war he called in the first place.
Now, Wanmon Mantla Ba says, the diaspora never declared any war. It is public knowledge that Biya did. That's according to him. That aside, this thinking that people at home cannot think and decide for themselves, and that is always the diaspora doing this or that negative thing, is very condescending. You remember recently authorities in Cameroon accused their diaspora that doesn't, you know, do anything constructive. They just accuse the government in Yaounde.
But that does not mean people from diaspora cannot contribute to issues happening.
I think also, in my opinion, diaspora have a big role to play in constructive dialogue or in advising the government what to say. There's one comment from Gola Kongnui Zippy.
Yeah, this one is very interesting because he says, men of God whose pockets have been filled with silver from the oppressors have no option than to copy and paste in the name of a communique.
Uh-huh. There you go. Jimmy Twenge says, how did we reach here in the first place? Failure of the international community and good governance in Cameroon left a vacuum for what we are observing today. I hope the world was honest. Blame game is not the solution. These problems have root causes. Many thanks for those comments. Really appreciate you taking part in the stories and telling us your opinion. Keep it up. And always, the forum is DW Africa. That's our page. We still have much more for you, so don't go away, and we'll be back right after this.
U-Zone.
Now, Nigerians are said to be among the most religious people in the world. Most of them are either Muslims or Christians. A sizable number also practices traditional religion and witchcraft. Even many Christians and Muslims still believe in and resort to witchcraft to find solutions to their problems. Zippy.
Yeah, that is quite stunning. And about half of Nigeria's population of 182 million is youths. Many see witchcraft as a shortcut to success and often patronize witch doctors. Our correspondent, Muhammad Bello, has this special report.
I'm in Nigeria's capital, Abuja, one of the country's most modern cities. Witch doctors are very much alive here despite a belief that they only operate in villages and remote areas. Dr. Oba Adetunji, aged 55, has been doing this job for the last 30 years. On a good day, he can attend to almost 7 clients. He is based in Jabi Gidabu community within the Abuja metropolis. He says witchcraft is part of African tradition.
I'm a elder, I'm a doctor. I'm the Yoruba king of the community and Dakibu. As it came to me now, all these things.
I am an elder and a doctor in the Yoruba kingdom. All these things here are our own tradition in Africa to protect ourselves. Sickness or any other problem. In fact, our forefathers used these curries to prevent sickness. I have clients from all over Africa, in Uganda, and also South Africa.
Both Uganda, South Africa, then they call me. Olubeke Iba.
Twenty-five-year-old Hafsat Umar is one of Dr. Over's clients. The mother of three, who has been married for 7 years, says whenever she has a problem, the witch doctor has always given her solution that work.
I was led to the witch doctor. I was having a problem of barrenness. Then I met him, and he helped me in curing my menstrual problem and body pain, and I saw a good result. Also, when my husband married a second wife, I consulted the witch doctor, complaining to him how my husband stopped giving me the usual care. The doctor actually helped me spiritually, and it worked for me.
Shitu Tonya's father is a witch doctor. He grew up believing and seeing his parent practicing witchcraft. The 27-year-old says he hopes to take over from his father someday. He believes witches are the solution to worldly problems because he sees that it has worked for his family and others who turn to them for help. He explains the use of shrines and magical powers to solve human problems.
Many people are coming, including men and women, old and young.
Many people come here, men, women, old and young, when they have a problem and we have to give them a solution. Some people come here when their businesses are not running properly or they are not progressing in life. They hope to have a successful life when they come here.
And when they came here, maybe for successful and to have a peaceful life.
That is Shitu Tonye wrapping up that report by Muhammad Bello.
Get personal with DW Africa on WhatsApp and don't miss out on any news and videos from us. Go to dw.com/Africa and find out how to join our WhatsApp service. And indeed, many of you have been getting connected with WhatsApp, beginning with the comments that you sent on our number. Itoro Orok commented on witchcraft. He said, "It isn't an African thing. We have witches in the Western world also." And Chikmaso Adon says, "There is nothing like witchcraft." In my African perspective, what we have is science and technology.
But someone thinks otherwise, Isaac. That is John Baptist Sekubulwa, who says, "Yes, it is part of our heritage. The way it is branded at some point, I think it's exaggerated. I'm sure there was a good side to it than what is presented today."
Now listen to this one from Abeng Emmanuel. He says, "With witchcraft culture, people try seeking answers or responding to events they don't fully understand." Let's leave it at that. And anyway, you can just go to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and tell us more about witchcraft and wizardry. We'll be back after this.
Speaking out.
Now, Liberians are calling for the establishment of a war crimes court more than 20 years after a brutal civil war left at least a quarter a million of people dead. For many years, there has been divided opinion on whether a court should be put in place to try those responsible for atrocities committed, many of whom now occupy high positions in the government and the legislature.
The call comes ahead of President George Weah's first appearance at the UN General Assembly. The first took place between 1989 to 1997, and for close to 10 years, rebel groups led by former Liberian President Charles Taylor and Prince Johnson fought relentlessly the government of Samuel Doe. But along the way to peace, killings and serious atrocities were committed. From Monrovia, Evelyn Pade sent this report.
Across Liberia, calls from survivors of Liberia's civil war to establish war crimes court have become louder than ever before, with hope that they will overcome the trauma they went through. Survivors like Dorothy Waters Macaulay and Vinnie Cornyn think justice delayed is justice denied.
I was here during the war and I had a very bad experience during the war. I got hit with a nervous breakdown during the war and I almost lost my sight. I couldn't walk. War crime court, I don't look at it to be a bad thing. War crime court is very important because it will serve precedence for the generation to come.
The war crime court, President George Weah, to bring it in the country to stand for it. I lost my mother, I lost my father, I lost my sister. Last time I was just 19 years old. Today, no man, no power. So we're praying for war crime court to come here.
Human Rights Monitor of the United Methodist Church in Liberia is one of the many groups advocating for the War Crimes Court. Jefferson Knight is its program director.
When it comes to the issue of the War Crimes Court, we support it. So I don't think this president will go before the UN and say that, oh, we don't want it again, because they were running the campaign for over 12 years that these alleged war criminals need to be prosecuted. And those messages should be proffered by the president at the UN.
It should be recalled that the Second Liberian Civil War began in 1990 and ended in 2003, when ECOWAS intervened to stop the rebels' siege on Monrovia and exiled former President Charles Taylor to Nigeria, until he was arrested in 2006 and taken to The Hague for war crimes in Sierra Leone.
Evelyn Pade with that report. And I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.